Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game here on a Tuesday. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin on the desk with me as always. Wonderful show. Of course, we will review last night. Is Russ not cooked after all? Is Russ actually doing the cooking? That's one of the things we've got to talk about.
That's
sure.
Right.
We got to talk about is the absolutely over for the World Series. And, you know, history tells us that the World Series is over. What a bummer for Fox. They got the two biggest markets in the world. And he's going to have to.
Maybe four games
in there with that. We'll talk to Drew Densick, Will Hill, Paul Spohr. We got a action packed show for you here today. But man, let's go ahead and get to what we saw last night in the World Series. And Kelly, this is a really big bummer, I think, for baseball fans. You got the World Series you wanted. You got the Yankees. You got the Dodgers. You got the two most storied franchises in baseball. You get the narratives. You get everything coming into this one. And then the Dodgers take a 3-0 lead, 4-2 win. It was 4-0 until a two-run jack in the ninth inning. So this was not even really that close, not as close as the scoreboard even dictated here. And no team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in the World Series. This has happened 24 different times that there has been 3-0 deficits. It has gone on to be a sweep 21 of those 24 times. It is ridiculously high how often this thing just gets done in four. And those other three times, yeah, it was just done in five. We've never even gotten to a game six in a World Series after a team has gone up 3-0 in this one. The Yankees have scored just seven runs through three games. They are 4-for-20 with runners in scoring position. They've struck out 31 times in this series so far. Aaron Judge is yet to get it going, and it just looks like the entire team almost has that look of defeat on their face when asked about it afterwards. Of course, what they're going to say is what every team is going to say. Hey, we got to take it one game at a time. We can't win them all until we win the first one, et cetera, et cetera. But this is over. I feel bad for baseball fan. I feel bad for Yankee fan. I feel bad. I have no affiliation to Fox, but I feel bad for Fox. You're getting nothing out. You know, you get this thing that your thing is going to be this massive hit. You're getting nothing out of that. But this has been a forgettable World Series. And that's a shame, because when we look back on this World Series, sure, Dodger fan is going to remember the Freddie Freeman Grand Slam. And maybe someone who had the over is going to remember the Freddie Freeman Grand Slam. Yep. But after that, this is just going to be a forgettable World Series. And it's such a shame, because we did get the Yankees and Dodgers.
Yeah, I think it's really that. We make those jokes every year about watch it be Yankees, Dodgers or something like that. And you actually get it. And with, man, the star power you had on this team and the home run hitters that we thought we were going to watch be able to duel all series long and to get to this point. Yeah, it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad. But, you know, the Dodgers are getting it done by the long ball, right? The Yankees still have that opportunity. I guess they could still make it a thing here. Like you said, though, history not in their favor. You can get over 13-1, though, if you want to go against history.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't bet leans yesterday, because lean towards the over in this one. Instead, Walker Buehler goes out and was absolutely phenomenal. And listen, Walker Buehler always had it. You were talking about a dude that was a first-round pick and one of the biggest prospects to come into baseball whenever he came up. And he just battled injuries and just wasn't the same, right? But he looked as close to the Walker Buehler of old as I've ever seen last night. Was just absolutely dealing. Everything working for him. Goes five innings, just gives up two hits, strikes out five in those five innings. And you were just watching him mow through that lineup over and over and over again. They go to the bullpen. This bullpen for the Dodgers has been absolutely phenomenal as well. So you kind of knew the door was going to get shut. And here we are with a game four. And what can you do but other than think that the Dodgers are going to close it out?
Yeah.
Even with a bullpen game. What would lead you to believe that they aren't going to get it done?
I mean, the way they're hitting the ball right now, too, is really impressive. Freddie Freeman, hopefully. I didn't bet it, Matt, of course. Why would I bet this yesterday after we talked about it on the show? But Adam Burke coming on, talking about even money not being short enough. Freddie Freeman steps up there, hits a two-run shot in the first inning, down to minus 1,800 now to be your World Series MVP. This would have to go seven, regardless of who wins it, right, for him to not win, possibly?
Yes.
Like, even if it's another Dodger, they'd need more games to get there.
Yeah, this is all but over as well. The only thing that could happen with having to win one in four is they did have to go through a decent amount of bullpen pitchers last night for the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. So maybe Dave Roberts just looks at it tonight and says, hey, we'll not punt the game, but if it goes our way, it goes our way. But we're just going to kind of go through the motions here, and we've only got to win one of four.
That is kind of interesting, because you're talking about a planned bullpen game, but if you used more arms than you thought you were going to last night.
Six different bullpen pitches last night.
Yeah, if you needed more than you thought last night, like, do you maybe try to have a guy go a little longer to start this game just in case, right, to have those other pitchers ready to go if this does get extended. That's kind of interesting to think about, actually.
Yeah, you look at this, and even with it being a bullpen game for the Dodgers and not exactly knowing how they're going to tackle it, they're just plus 124. You know, like, that's all it is on the line tonight.
So, like, that was going to be my next question. Is this, hey, given the history and what we've seen in the World Series, I mean, is that, like, do we just have to play the Dodgers?
I know. So do you just blindly
would you say 21
it?
Out of 24?
21 of 24 have been sweeps. The other three were done in five. We've never even gotten to a game six.
I always like to think about it from the player partying mindset, too. It sounds like a good time winning a World Series in New York, going out and partying in New York, then returning to L.A. to party.
And you get the dual party instead of just the singular party. Yeah, this is another. This is with a high-level handicap that you get right here on a numbers game, because we're thinking, like, they're going, hey, guys, we can't punt this off because we get two different parties.
That's right.
We get the New York party. We get to party on both coasts. So, yeah, I couldn't bring myself to back Luis Gil tonight in the Yankees, just with getting absolutely nothing from that lineup at all, and Judge just looking lost in that in that batter's box. I don't know how you can feel confident pulling the trigger on the Yankees. Last night, if you're dual screening, I assume if you're single screening, maybe you were on the World Series. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
I had three.
Actually, let us know if you're single screening out there. Like tweet at us. Which one did you watch?
I had three screens going, and that was tough, Matt. Because NBA to mix in too. Yeah, that was difficult. Yeah.
I was dual screen, so I had that all taken care of. What do we think about Russell Wilson? Because I have to be honest. I think Russell Wilson at this point, and I did not think this leading into the season. I did not think this when they decided to make the change 2 weeks ago. I actually think Russell Wilson gives this team a higher ceiling, because Russell Wilson is throwing the ball pretty well right now, Kelly Bidlin. And what that does is, if you're a Steelers team, which this was the point I was trying to make with the Steelers, is how confident would you ever be that Justin Fields is going to lead you back from a 10-point deficit in a game ever? Yep. But Russell Wilson, so far, so good. I am small sample size, but Russell Wilson is throwing the ball pretty well, and he's making some pretty good decisions, and he hasn't done anything completely boneheaded yet. And I think this makes this team a little bit more, for me, bettable. For me, also gets me to a point where I actually think that maybe there is some juice here with this Steelers squad, specifically with how they get to the passer.
Yeah, I'm trying not to overreact either, but it's been two games, and it's been two very impressive games so far, where if you get this type of quarterback play from Russell Wilson, it takes it from a team that I was betting unders on win totals for, that absolutely sitting at 6-2 now. You've got to think, man, what is the ceiling with this team with how good the defense is? And you're getting a quarterback who can make big things happen in the passing game. I'm with you. I'm starting to think about this team very different than what I was thinking about the first 6 weeks of the season.
26-18 victory for the Steelers. They cover any and all numbers that you were going to get out there on them. And the Giants did have the ball and did have a chance to come back in this game. Daniel Jones just does what Daniel Jones every single time and just makes a bad throw. I think the Giants understand now completely where they're at as a franchise, which is not only do you have to deal with the 12th rebuild of your offensive line, which they've been trying to do now for what seems like two decades, but you got to get another quarterback. You got to get secondary because you can't cover anybody. Like, it's a New York fan. I know it's a rough morning for you as it is anyway. Yeah. You got the Yankee stuff going on. And then now you look at this Giants situation, but you're a long ways off, and that's unfortunate.
I was confused by a lot of their play, because like Tracy had a huge game, right? Yeah. Like he had a huge game
unexpected,
on the ground.
By the way.
Unexpected, yeah, completely unexpected. I mean, like, you know, with a team that's limited on talent like the Giants, you don't expect to be able to walk into Pittsburgh and run all over a defense that we already knew was good. I thought that was surprising, but this Giants front four is still great. Other than that, it's lacking all around.
First TD score was the dreaded defensive special teams touchdown, so nobody cashes that one. I do want to pour a little bit out for any of you that had George Pickens anytime touchdowns score.
Oh,
as
gosh, yeah.
George Pickens scores, he gets it called back due to an offensive holding. So then that, well, a face mask is actually what it was. The offensive lineman face mask, the defensive lineman. So that one gets called back a little bit later in the game. He defies physics, he defies all gravity, he defies every single thing that he could defy, jumps up, catches the ball. I actually learned something in football last night for the first time, because I wasn't sure. I thought the rules official was coming on to tell us, because George Pickens' right foot actually tapped twice.
I was wondering if this is where you were going.
I thought he was coming in to tell us that, oh, no, that's good. There just has to be 2 feet, and the 2 feet can be 1 foot twice. But that is actually not the case. If it's a foot, a knee, it's a crazy thing. Knee's fine, elbow, whatever.
Yeah.
The feet got to be two different feet.
So, okay. When they came on to make that ruling, I was like, I think this doesn't count. Like, I think we've heard this before. If you tap the same foot, it doesn't work. But then
You so rarely see it.
And all you're left, I'm left wondering after that. I'm like, well, what if he taps it like three times? Like, how many times are we at like a ridiculous amount of foot taps that this should just count as a catch?
Exactly. This is what, and so I'm glad they came on and cleared that up, because I got to be honest with you, I didn't know. I did not know that the 1 foot twice didn't count as 2 feet. But yeah, anyway, George Pickens, two different what seemed to be touchdowns.
Hey, nice hit on your prop.
Taken away from him. He did get over on his receiving cross. When we come back, some more NFL news, see if this affects how you are going to bet the games this week.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Kelly Bidlin, just four games in the association tonight. Nuggets, Nets, Mavs, Timberwolves, Kings, Jazz, Pelicans, and the Warriors. Some interesting notes here in this one. The Mavs, Nuggets, Kings, and Jazz are all on the back half of a back-to-back, and then the Pelicans, Warriors, and Nets are all the front end of a back-to-back tonight. So seven of the eight teams in action are in some form of a back-to-back, and you're looking, at least on your card, at that Mavericks and Wolves game.
Yeah, I do have a bet in that. Bet it yesterday at 4.5. This has moved out to 5, like Drew was talking about. This is the importance of betting openers early in the season. The NBA, you're going to get a lot more favorable numbers usually. Openers and then closers, right? Yeah, we talked about this a lot yesterday when we went over the board. It was, the high point was really when we were on the air yesterday with a lot of those numbers that ended up coming back in. So yeah, I laid 3.5. Completely understand Drew though, liking 5. This is up to 5. If it gets over 5, that's pretty aggressive to me. Not
if
a huge.
You're in a Bet Rivers or ESPN bet market. Five and a half already.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty aggressive. I feel like, look, we have the whole revenge angle from the playoffs last year. Sure, that's going on. Sure, Minnesota would love to get get a win here tonight. This is back to back though for Dallas. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. It still matters. Does it matter as much as later in the season? No, it doesn't. Yeah. Still matters though. I always think about it just in this aspect, Matt, of just the travel itself. Right, when you finish a game last night, can't hop out of a plane so late and I get into Minnesota so late and then have to turn around and play a game. It's not so much about the wear and tear on the body. It's just the annoying travel. So going up there, Luka's been interesting. He didn't play in the preseason. He's had some glimpses where he looks great so far this season. He's had some other spots where he hasn't looked as awesome. So the bigs that Dallas has been able to incorporate into this team going back to last year that have played so well, they're going to run into Rudy Gobert tonight on the Minnesota side. You get the back-to-back 3-4 for the Mavs. The Wolves third in net EPM, estimated plus minus to start the season so far. So even with that opening night loss that they took, still one of the better teams in the NBA. It should be a great game. I'm really looking forward to that one. Not a huge bet for me, but did lay the 3.5. Other games here tonight, I was interested in the Kings. This number's kind of run out as well, though. Like you said, both of those teams coming off of back-to-back last night, Kings and Jazz meeting there in Salt Lake City tonight. That was a lean for me towards the Kings on that number when it opened yesterday. The other ones are interesting. I'm glad Drew brought it up. The Nuggets and Nets, there is no bet for me tonight, but like he pointed out, the market movement for what we've seen in a Denver team that's taken all of three games for everybody to kind of realize this is not the Denver Nuggets of a couple years ago with the pieces they've lost. It is fascinating. I'm not running to the window to bet the Nets. Yes, Nuggets are coming off off a back-to-back in Toronto that went to overtime last night. So, yeah, we were talking middle of the season. That would be a prime kind of back-to-back situation that you'd look to capitalize on. And then Pelicans Warriors, we're gonna have Steph Curry miss the next couple of games, so takes a lot of the luster out of that game tonight. One of the things I first pulled up was just to look at what Draymond's assist prop was. 5.5 overjuiced, though. I can't get there on that. I was hoping to see maybe a 4.5 or flat 5 and then look over, just simply because this roster, there's just not many distributors on the team really outside of Steph and Draymond. You take Steph off the court completely, I would think you're going to see Draymond trying to run a lot of this offense, or a lot of it running through him. The total's kind of where I expected to. I was interested initially in the under or a team total under on Golden State, but I think this is going to end up being a stay away for me.
I hate to break it to you, Lakers fans, not going to go undefeated. They did lose last night. to the Suns. And if you were watching baseball and football and didn't have a chance to get some NBA on your TV, little tip of the cap, Paolo Banchero, unbelievable night. Wimby doing Wimby things.
Yeah, it was, I watched a lot of that Magic game. That's tough. It's tough to have a bet laying 5.5, watch Paolo Banchero throw up 50 points and you still don't cover. That was not fun last night.
And then Wimby just doing what he does. 24. Yeah,
he's been struggling a bit offensively, and the team. I've got a lot of tweets about this defensive player of the year. The number is coming back because the team defense is not playing well. This was the big issue last year when we talked about Wemby versus Rudy Gobert. You are seeing plus money on Wemby now because the team defense, the defensive numbers, even with Wemby on the court, are not very good right now for San Antonio, at least before yesterday's game. So just something to keep in mind when you are seeing these odds come back out. But yeah, 20 rebounds, not bad. It's not a bad night.
If you're listening to us out there and you'd actually like to see what we look like and see what these guys look like here sitting on this desk at the largest sports book in the world in Las Vegas at Circa, we got an all new app that you can do that. The VSiN Watch app makes it easy to listen or watch our pretty faces there on the VSiN Watch app. You can get it for Apple. You can get it for Google, and it's absolutely free for a limited time. So go in, and you also get the replays of the shows as well. And so you really want to take advantage of this. We listened to the people out there. The one thing that everyone was screaming about when we got rid of the app the first time was, guys, that was how I listened. That was how I watched. Well, guess what? It's back and it's free for a limited time. So go in, make sure that you take advantage of this. It is for Apple. It is for Google as well. The VSiN Watch app.
First day of the quarter zip season, okay? It's got cold outside, Matt. It got cold out.
So this is not fashion, this is function, is what you said. What you got?
I mean, a little bit of both. Come on. Yeah, come on.
Oh, I didn't know if this was this was a look for you.
Well, I mean, it's quarter zip season. It is during the winter.
Typical look for you. How many quarter zips you got?
Like 3 or 4.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
You gotta have one for each day of the week, Von Wrinkle has the fishing shirts or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good call. 3 or 4 in the rotation, though. Yeah, in the rotation.
Yeah, you got to keep those going like that. All right, so we said we would talk some Survivor today, and I do want to talk to some Survivor today because, look, we're down it wasn't a huge loss this week, but we did lose 10% of the field at the Circus in Circus Survivor. We're down to under 200 entries, down to 191, and 16 get through last night, by the way, with the Steelers. So that was not really a sweat. I guess sweaty a little bit there towards the end, but not really. And so this is getting real, real, Kelly.
Did you end up betting the Giants? I did not.
No.
Okay. So
well, like, I never got, fortunately, it never got 6.5. So,
right.
Like,
yeah, exactly. Never got 6.5. We did say that on the air, but it was like, it was for a game that it didn't have any action on. It was almost annoying, like how, like, kind of close it was, because you're like, all right, this game's over. Yeah. Oh, wait, the Giants did something.
Well, you got to think, if they'd have gotten that 2-point conversion they tried the first time, it would have been within 6.
Yes.
So, you know, it's like, so the hand, you know, whatever, got a 6.5. We would have won our theoretical bet.
Yeah. Did you,
that didn't really happen.
You needed the last catch for Pickens to go over.
No,
he had, okay.
Oh, well, you're talking about the 40-something yarder.
Yeah.
The 40-something yarder, like, got it there.
I don't know why. I thought, when I looked at his stats after, I was like, I thought he had gotten well
because
over
he,
yes, this.
Because, well, he had the two different ones called back. And yeah, but he needed the 40-yarder to get there. But, hey, listen, that was the handicap, is that he's been getting those YOLO shots from Russ and did end up getting home. So this week is fairly interesting, right? So from a Survivor standpoint, if you're playing here at Circa, you know, you're not going to play the Chiefs. So the Chiefs are kind of off the table, because you need the Chiefs for one of the holiday weeks. And so if you're in your home pool, then certainly the Chiefs are on the table. The Chiefs are playing the Bucks, and it's a banged up Bucks team, as we know. So these are, I wouldn't say your number one option necessarily, Kelly, but certainly one that should be towards the top for you. The only problem with the Chiefs is, we talk about this all the time, future value. And future value of this Chiefs team is just absolutely massive, because at the end of the day, if you're playing Survivor and you get to a point where you're like, dude, I have no idea what I want to do this week, going to war with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, you can always click that and feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
So like keeping that team in your pocket feels pretty great. I mean, here's the decision people are going to have to make. It looks like Derek Carr is going to play for the Saints. You are never going to use the Saints again, ever again. And you get them against the Panthers. I mean, like, so this is it.
That is the optimal aggressive play of the week, right?
Yeah. Because they've already played, if you remember, there was already the Panthers game at the beginning of the season. So this is the second meeting. They don't get them again. If you want to attack this Panther squad, we don't know. Here's the other problem with this. We don't know who's playing quarterback for the Panthers. If we don't know if Dalton's thumb is going to be healed or not, or if they just decide they're not going back to Dalton because, hey, we might as well just go ahead and lose as many games as humanly possible.
Yeah, I'd be sticking with Bryce Young.
Right? Like, I mean, so there's that. And so that is like a little bit of an unknown. Bills and the Dolphins, I'm not messing with that one.
Yeah, man. I don't know how you can feel that confident.
I know it's a 6-point spread. I'm not messing with that one. Ravens and Broncos. The Broncos are feisty, but I think the Ravens are much better team. I think that one could be a very real option.
I don't want to say I'm shocked to hear that Drew is on the Broncos side, because he's going by his numbers. I get it that 9 might be a little much, but man, I expect to see a good game out of the Ravens this week. And Denver has been very, very fortunate with their schedule here the past few weeks.
Cincinnati, who's just like basically wiped out the whole Survivor pool, has the Raiders this week. So like, if you want to go that route, I can't imagine.
If you want to join the rest of them,
they got wiped out. Eagles against the Jags, I think, is going to be pretty interesting as well, because this Jags team could be without Brian Thomas, definitely going to be without Christian Kirk. So you're going to be really thin at the wide receiver.
Yeah, just I hear you. Eagles, I don't know if I'm ready to fully trust them again yet. That's the only problem.
They look good, man. What are we talking about?
How are you gonna do this?
Will Hill, talk some baseball when we come back here.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on a Tuesday. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin coming to you from the largest sports book in the universe here at Circa Sports.
The universe. There we go.
It is. I mean, like, if it's in the country, it's probably in the world and probably in the universe.
Yeah, I think that checks out.
Unless you believe in, like, you know, other...
They should change the commercial.
They probably are. We'll really end up having to talk about aliens with Paul here in just a second, too, because you can't, like, talk about this World Series for an incredibly long time. And listen, if you don't want to bet the World Series, there's always horse racing going on. So you can do that if you want to bet. If you want to bet some horses, and you can do that at our partner First Bet. That is 1stbet.com, firstbet.com. Go in. We got the Breeders' Cup that is coming up this week as well. This is a awesome, awesome event. They're going to have all kinds of specials going on over there. And if you go in, use the promo code VEASAN200, you can claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Again, that is promo code VEASAN200 over at firstbet.com. That is 1STBET.com. Now joining us here on the program, your friend and mine. You can find him over at Fangraphs, at Sporer on the Twitter machine. He is Paul Sporer. Paul, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I think this is kind of one of those segments where we all are going, man, you know, the world's, it's 3-0. You know the stats. We've said them 10 times on the show already, but it's happened 24 times before. 21 of those 24 times, it's been a sweep. The other three times it didn't even get to game six. And so we can try to sit here and say that it's going to be different this time, but can we really do that?
Not with any, you know, conviction necessarily, right? It's going to take a miracle at this point. It's the classic one game at a time. You know, they come out, start hitting tonight. If the Yanks do that, obviously, you know, that's one in the books, but it's still such an uphill climb that I'm not going to blow smoke up everyone's tush on that. I don't see it now. And the simple fact is the hitting has kind of evaporated in the key spots. It's not just Judge. I understand that he wears the bulk of it as the superstar, but you see the numbers flashed up throughout the entire game, in every game so far. They're ineptitude to hit when they have opportunities has really cost them. It's not even so much that the Dodgers are just blowing them out of the water offensively and that, you know, the barrage, they just can't keep up. It's that the Yankees are never getting that key hit right now. And sometimes that just kind of happens. Do I think this is a team that needs to be dismantled and it totally sucks and this, that, and the other? No, we did not think that coming in, and three games do not make me think that. But this is baseball in a nutshell, right? You go cold at the very wrong moment, and all of a sudden your World Series could be over before you can really blink.
So before we talk about the game tonight, I do want to look back a little bit last night, because you see this pitching staff for the Dodgers that's been just absolutely decimated by injury. You've heard them talk about it. They have a whole five-man rotation that's hurt right now. Mm-hmm. And you get Walker Buehler, and you get that performance from him last night. You've been around a long time. I've been around a long time following this stuff. You remember the hype that surrounded him when he came in. You remember, you know, one of the, you know, pitching phenoms coming through and all that and battling all those injuries. That stuff from him last night, Paul, like that, what you could just tell, something was different with him last night. You could see it in his body language. You could see it with the pitches, the way that he had the command of basically everything that was going on at the exact right time for this Dodger team. It just seems like they're just blessed with this World Series. It's, here you go, we're gonna hand it to you.
Right. And, you know, listen, I don't want to say that it's being handed to them, because they're going out and getting it. And somebody like Buehler stepping up, who had a wretched season. But this is why you stay bought in on a guy like this, and why pedigree and track record and all that matters so much, and why I probably won't quit Bobby Miller next year either. You know, once he's healthy and looking right, because I think Buehler and Miller both have legitimate ace upside. I realize Buehler's now age 29, going to be 30 next year. We'll see where he plays next year. He's making himself a few bucks with these last two starts, though. You know, the four innings against the Mets was pretty vintage Buehler, and then this was really, really vintage Buehler. I know it's funny to say vintage about someone who's 29, but go look at some of his early playoff track record, and he was a dude for them. That's why the fall from this year was so impactful and so kind of alarming, right? Like, is he done? 75 innings, you don't want to bury somebody, but he didn't. At no point this year did Walker Buehler look like himself. Even the decent outings that he had over those 16 starts, they were kind of smoke and mirrorsy. If you watched him, he would get lucky, the balls would go where they needed to, or he'd get a few strikeouts, but he was never quote unquote Walker Buehler until these last two starts when they needed him most. And that's why they stay committed to a guy like this. And I guarantee you, if Bobby Miller was healthy and, you know, could actually throw some innings for them, they'd be staying committed to him for the same reasons, because it's still in there with these guys. So that was a huge effort by Buehler, and like I said, definitely earned himself a few bucks extra this year. And I kind of hope it's from my favorite team, the Detroit Tigers. We've seen what they can do building back pitchers. I would love for them to go after Buehler.
Paul, what's your confidence level in Shohei Ohtani tonight? Looked a little rough last night. I'm considering some unders on some props. The strategy has burned me before, though, betting on Dodgers in big moments. Just any takeaways from what you saw out of his swing last night?
Yeah, I definitely thought that he was not, again, to use the quote-unquote Shohei Ohtani bolded, underlined version of himself, still managed to walk and a run because that's just what he does. Even when he's compromised, he's still contributing. I don't blame you for maybe looking at some unders because also, why not downshift Ohtani a little bit? I'm not saying that they won't play him, but let him play and he doesn't have to go all out. I don't expect him to dog it. He doesn't strike me as a guy who wouldn't run things out, but I'm saying, do they really need Ohtani to pop off to kind of even close this out tonight? Not necessarily. So I could see a little bit more of like, hey, you just go at your 80% rate. If you clip one for a homer, you can jog around the bases. Great. But we don't need you hustling, potentially instinctually going for a slide that will further damage you. I do understand that with Ohtani. I don't think he's 100% right now. He's good enough to play, which that's a good, you know, I'll take that Ohtani any day of the week, but he's not perfect Ohtani right now.
Talking to Paul Spohr, you can find his great work over at Fangraphs. This is tonight a minus 148 with Luis Gil going for the Yankees, plus 124 Dodgers bullpen game. 8.5 is the total. Let's start just the thought on the side here. Bullpen game, they did have to use a lot of the bullpen arms last night, did the Dodgers. What strategy do you think they employ here? I don't think they punt it off, Paul, but I mean, you know, you just got to win 1-4. So what do you think we see tonight from them?
Exactly. It's not going to be a stone cold punt, I don't believe. But it's also, again, like I was saying with the Ohtani piece, not going to be all systems go. We have to push super hard and we got to run Kopech out there and Gratterall and Bonda. You know, Bonda, actually, I should say, probably has a decent chance to go because he only threw 10 pitches, a third of an inning. But, you know, Kopech threw a full inning, 24 pitches, did give up the homer. Gratterall threw 18. So he's kind of on the fence there. They got some guys that can definitely come back. They will be down to close it out tonight. There's no sense prolonging it. Don't give them any life. So I don't, like I said, I don't think they're mailing it in, but I think we're going to be looking at guys like Landon Knack and Ben Kasperius and Brent Honeywell to try to get multiple innings so that they don't have to go to the dudes, because if they don't do it tonight, then they can really shut it down tomorrow with your Gratterals, your Bondas, and your Kopechs on more rest if they don't use them tonight. So I do think it's going to be like, again, a half mail-in, because even the guys I named, Landon Knack, Ben Kasperius, Brent Honeywell, they're not walkovers.
Yeah.
And you, the three of us, me, you, and Kelly, we could be getting out the Yankees right now because nothing's working for them. So they might just be able to do it with kind of the B squad because their B squad is still pretty damn good.
I'd like to think back in my day that I could only give up about 6 or 7 home runs to the Yankees team, like over the course of a few innings.
So, only 6 or 7.
Back now, in my day, I think I probably could have done it. So
6 or 7 homers in 8 plate appearances.
Exactly. 8.5 the total. Last night, a lot of people leaning towards over. I myself, fortunately, didn't get to the window on it, given what we saw from Buehler. What do you feel about that total? That's exactly the number we were on last night.
Yeah, I do think that we're going to see some scoring tonight, not just because of the bullpen situation. I do worry a little bit about Luis Gil. We saw how he closed down the stretch. Really big fan of Luis Gil, huge arm. But we see what happens when the hit suppression isn't there. Everything is so contingent upon hit suppression with him because of the control or lack thereof. When you're walking almost 5 per game or per 9, you do need those hits to not fall. And when they started to down the stretch, that control was exposed. So I do still have some concerns here. And then if they only can get three innings out of him and they're dipping into the bullpen for more than half the game, that is conducive to more runs as well. So I do like the over a bit here tonight, even with the Yankees maybe dropping 3 or 4 of those runs and then the Dodgers doing the rest. I think I would go over on the 8.
I'm going to give you a free Matt bucks here. 100 okay. Matt bucks. Are we done tonight? Are you putting it on the Dodgers? Yeah, you would put it on the
especially
Dodgers.
Especially as a dog. Give me the dog Dodgers because, again, the no pressure aspect of it, the quote-unquote B squad. And I'm not saying that they denigrate anybody, but they don't have to go to everybody. I think they got a shot to just shut it down tonight, giving me them as a dog, and then I probably just ride them again tomorrow if for some reason they don't close it out tonight. I just don't see where things turn around for the Yankees unless every hit starts falling. And BABIP can work that way, right? That's why BABIP is so fluky. But yeah, my 100 Matt bucks is going on the plus 124.
Well, I hope that they have you back on here next week to recap some stuff. But if this is the last time that we have you on, you know, this season, thanks for all of the great work. Awesome stuff over at Fangraphs, as always, at Spohr over on the Twitter machine as well. Paul, good luck on everything. And hopefully maybe we get some more baseball to talk about.
Would love to. Thanks so much for having me on all year. And my love out to Gil and his family.
Awesome, man. That was, I appreciate that, Paul. And yeah, I mean, it's like he said, they just have to sit there and they just have to sit there and to go, hey, we just do what we do. we're throwing some bullpen dudes. No big deal. Win, don't win. Yeah. Going back to LA. That almost works in their favor.
Yeah, we were kind of wondering about that. Could that be a strategy earlier in the show? And Paul just saying, hey, it might be, and it might not matter, right?
Yeah, no pressure whatsoever might equal to free swings, and those free swings might end up in that short porch out there at Yankee Stadium. We'll close things out when we get back, read a couple of tweets, and also run through any bets we got in the account.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final segment here on a Tuesday. Numbers game. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin with me here on the desk. Thanks to Paul Sporer for coming on each and every week. As you said, Kelly, throughout the course of the season, hopefully not the last time we talk to Paul here, but if history says anything about it, then might be the last time.
It's just a constant reminder to me as the producer of this show. Thank you to all the great guests that join us and join us all season long, like Paul Sporer, Mark Borchardt did through the baseball season, because it very quickly becomes, okay, it's done. We'll talk to you in 5 months.
Oh, we weren't expecting a sweep, and there we go. So, exactly. Have a good one, buddy. You know, like with all that, but great work over at Fangraphs. If you don't check out their advanced stuff over there, if you want to get a little bit more into the weeds next year with baseball research and stuff, you just can't go wrong with what they do. And pay a little bit of money, pay his salary, get a subscription over there, and you can actually customize your dashboard and all the stuff. Right, so all the stats that you want and that you want to see and all that, that matter to you, and you can actually do all that stuff, which is really cool. So
that is cool.
Yeah, do all of that. All right, Kelly, I do want to get through some of the tweets that we got throughout the course of the show.
Yeah,
we get tweets. We get tweets, and this is from Chris Heath, who said, single screening, because I asked about did you dual screen? Did you single screen?
And if you
single screened, how did you go about it? So he's talking about the 8.5, obviously being the baseball game. So he single screened the baseball game. So there we go. Check one for baseball over football.
Or was it under 8.5 wins for the Steelers?
I'm going to guess you're right. So this is Brian, who writes in and says, someone born in Boston, raised in Massachusetts. I was single screening last night, just checking Twitter, hoping for rain, snow, so no one can win the World Series. Of course, yes. A Red Sox fan implied there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Rooting for nobody. Yeah.
Implied Red Sox fan. You got one here.
Yeah. This is from Judd. We talked about this a little bit on the show yesterday. He tweets in, did you see the Dogs went 9-2 ATS last night's early reactions to this? This is in the NBA. We brought up how many big lines there were yesterday. There is an early reaction to this. I think it applies to most sports. The NBA might be more than others here, Matt, but we brought up yesterday, I think if you are looking at dogs at this time of year, as bettors are trying to get their numbers right, the books are still trying to get their numbers right, there is going to be a little bit more value on some of those dog numbers, and especially sprinkling money lines along with them. So if you are betting dogs, that is definitely something you should be doing this time of year, is sprinkling some money.
And this brought in by Matthew Mayberry here. This is something we were talking about with
the season-long
props, that some of these were put up, and I actually wish I had seen some of these, because the reason sometimes you don't bet season-long props, you're like, well, I don't want to lock money up for however long. Some of these things are cashing in first, three, four games of the season.
Well, and what's smart here about Matt, so Matthew Tatum, 10-plus rebounds any game, only minus 130, cashed in first game, also still have Ant-Man, 10 assists in any game, minus 120, and for fun, Ant-Man, 60 points in any game, 12-1. Those first two, though, couldn't pass up. I think the problem that a lot of people have in those season-long props is we're always people are mainly looking at the big payouts, right? They're looking at the Ant-Man 12-1. They're not looking at the minus 130 on Tatum 10-plus rebound. Yeah. How is that available? Tatum 10-plus rebounds in any game was minus 130?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I know some people are screaming out there, yeah, well, you could only get down $500 on it. Okay, well, that's $500 in your account.
Yep.
I'm not saying it's free, but it's as free as a future can be.
I don't even understand how that one makes sense. I'm still confused by it. That number's way off compared to the Ant-Man 10-plus assists. That's...
Right. Just absolutely, absolutely great wild.
Matthew was all over those.
And,
good job.
And this spawned, obviously, from the what we saw swirling around yesterday as Victor Wembanyama gets home on his 20-plus rebound game that actually paid out at plus 140. So that three games into the season, also home for him if you made that futures bet out there. Last one, this is from Jason, says, I have an exact order ticket on Philly, Washington, Dallas, Giants at 9-1. That is looking really, really good right now for Jason on the Philly, Washington, Dallas, New York football Giants at 9-1 in that division. I mean, I'm looking at that one, Kelly, and going, that is by far the likeliest scenario as we sit here currently heading into week 9 in the NFL.
Yeah, and Jason asking if he should bet, Commander's money line here on some of the head-to-head games. Something to consider, but like you just kind of said, Matt, you're – yeah, Jason, you're set up really well right now like with this ticket.
Very, very likely. So
I don't think there's any reason to rush to bet anything here. You might have some outs later in the season. And yes, it's only, week 9? So plenty of things can change. But, man, I there's no way I could have told you that in week 9 of the season, the NFC East was going to be this figured out. Yeah. And the Commanders are one of those teams at the top.
And the good thing for a hedge is you can wait until week 16 to do that if you wanted to, because they play Washington week 16. So you could that game might be for the division, you know, like way out in week 16. So you
how many losses the Cowboys have right now? I'm trying to think of this. What's the biggest? Is it just at the top with it? It's the shortest differential, right, between Philly and Washington.
The Cowboys
right?
are 3-4.
So there's a big gap between Washington and them.
Big gap right now. So this is a very, very likely scenario here. And then you get the head-to-head between Washington and the Eagles in week 16. So you're set up really nicely.
I would not be messing around with this for at least a few more weeks.
You are set up really, really great. We had some great guests on the show today with a bunch of different bets. And so we want to roll through those to make sure that everybody is up to date. I know Drew Densick had we'll start with Will Hills.
Yeah, best bets brought to you by GBank. I'm going to start with mine real quick. Laid 3.5 with the Timberwolves. And then I'm going to tail the great Will Hill on the Shohei Ohtani under a half a hit at plus 170.
Yes, you're all over this.
I am.
The second this got mentioned on the program, Kelly was like,
I can't help myself.
That is going in the account.
Yeah, I can't help myself. Will was Dodgers money line tonight. Sounds like Paul agreed with that play as well. And then he's on Ohtani under the half hit. We haven't found anybody. We couldn't find anybody before the series that wanted the Yankees. Yeah. Can't find anybody in the night that wants the Yankees. All right, Colts catching 6 against the Vikings for Will. And then Ohio State, Penn State under 46.5. Also Georgia State not listed on there. Georgia State catching 7.5 against UConn. Drew Dinzik then, Chargers laying 1.5 against the Browns this week. Broncos catching 9 against the Ravens. Then the Mavericks catching 5 tonight against the Timberwolves.
Best bets brought to you by GBank, official bank of VEASAN. The GBank Visa Signature Card, your best bet, delivering 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all other purchases. For more information, VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSIN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval and terms and conditions do apply for that. Another reason you can't take the Yankees is, I don't know, you had the tri-screen going, so you were looking at the baseball game from time to time, correct?
Yeah.
Did you see all the expensive seats cleared out by like the 6th inning?
Yeah. The other thing that
I'm going like, dude, how rich are you Wall Street people that like you paid however many thousands upon thousands of dollars for these tickets and like 6th inning rolls around? You're kind of like, yeah, I'd rather just I'd rather just go home. No way we score 5 runs. Like, you're just like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go home. Like I'm sitting there in the 8th inning. I'm going, I am counting 100 seats. That's $200,000 worth of seats I'm pointing at right now.
Very different for me to make the decision at home to change the TV because I can always jump back to it right real quick. Yeah. But if you're at the game and leaving for how much you paid for those, yes, it is something.
I was blown away. That was the one thing I just kept looking going, how is this a thing?
So speaking of the crowds, the other one I'm fascinated by, I'm sure you caught some of this, but the whole Clippers wall thing that they're doing with the fans. So they're trying to build like a college atmosphere at the new Clippers arena and for the games. So, but it took me, a quarter into that first game, they were mentioning it, but I'm like, why is nobody sitting in the stands? Like the quality seats in row 4 behind the bench it was pretty sparse. So everybody's talking about this wall going on there. And I'm like, that's cool. But like, you need to fill in the other seats too. So and it's something interesting to watch going forward, especially since Durant said he had trouble shooting free throws that night because of that wall of fans back there. So for NBA bettors, something to keep in mind.
You know what they should do to really mess with people to whenever they're going to shoot free throws? Just basically put all of the statues that have ever been done of anyone back there.
Oh,
and
my
And they're just going to sit there and stare at these people's faces and go, what statue? Who's that supposed to be?
Well, I don't have this ready for today.
If you guys have not seen everyone clowning on this Dwayne Wade statue that got put out, just go do it.
Google Dwayne Wade statue. I am sure it is the first thing that will come up. It is bad, man.
You pointed out though, this is not the first statue that has looked botched.
No. The Ronaldo one was the one I was trying to remember yesterday. I was like, who just did this a few years ago? There we go. There's Dwayne Wade. Good job. Brendan, I didn't want to call you out, but great work back there pulling it up so quick. That is allegedly Dwayne Wade. You know what I don't get is how these guys go to these ceremonies, Matt? Like, it's an honor to be honored by your team like this, right? But not if it doesn't look anything like you.
If you're sitting there, if you didn't see the Miami logo, if we only showed you the face, you are never,
never,
ever, ever guessing who that is.
Internet had some fun.
It's never in a million years. Stick around here. Stormy Bonnetone, Jeff Schwartz going to get you on Money Moves. Good luck on all your bets here on a Tuesday.